Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, I thank you so much for this wonderful day that you've blessed us with. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross. Thank you for his sacrifice that he made. Dear Lord, please help Barbara Teeters and Tommy Manning as he passed. Please help their family as they're lost. Please help Gary Crafts and his stepmother. And Lord, we thank you so much for your son again and sacrifice. And in his name we pray. Amen.
If you would, please open your Bibles to Mark 16, verses 14 through 16. Later, as he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to each and to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe, will be condemned."
If you will, please turn to the Gospel of Luke, starting in chapter 24, verses 46 through 47. This was after Jesus had risen from the dead, and he told his disciples, "Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." What I believe this tells us is that Jesus suffered that we may have salvation, and we need to spread that to all the world. In simpler words, this basically means we need to share the gospel with everybody. There's three questions that come to mind when we think about this. And those three questions are, what exactly is the gospel? Who is everybody? And why do we need to share it with everybody? First question, what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that Jesus told us and what we have to do to be saved. In Luke chapter 24, if you recall, it said that it was necessary for Christ to suffer for us. That is the good news, that we can have salvation through Christ, even though we do not deserve it. God gave us salvation because of his love, which is shown in John 3:16-17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And he also gave us salvation because of his mercy and his grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." That is the good news that Jesus tells us. Second question. In Matthew chapter 28 through 18 through 20, Jesus told his apostles, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He didn't just say Americans or Asians, he said all nations. One might ask, who is supposed to tell them these nations? In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 16, it says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." It said to preach the gospel to every creature. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was the life, and life was the light of men. And light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." He created all things, which includes every human being on the earth. So therefore, we need to tell every human of every nation. Third question. Why do we need to tell everybody? In Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 13 through 15, it says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, who bring glad tidings of good things. In order to be saved, you must first hear the gospel. How then can people be saved if we do not tell it to them?" Jesus told Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verses 9 through 10, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." We also need to seek and tell the lost of how they can have their salvation, just as Jesus did. One final question. Will you tell it?
Please open up to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest and send out laborers into his harvest.'"
Think about a farmer. In order to ensure a good harvest, what would that farmer have to do? After he's prepared the grounds, which could include plowing, fertilizing, whatever he needed to do for his piece of land and his crop, he has to plant the seed. We just heard that we have to share the gospel with everyone, but does it stop there? After we share the gospel, that all that we do is tell people? With some crops, you just plant them and they're fine, they'll grow on their own. But with others, you have to nourish them and help them throughout their entire growth. But after you've helped them and nourished them throughout their growth, do you just stop there? Because then you have a field full of good harvest that hasn't been harvested. You have to go out and harvest that. Imagine if a farmer has done all of his work. He's plowed his fields, he's planted his crops, and they've grown, and he has the best crop that he's ever had before, and he just leaves it out there. What good would all of his work done? If he just left it, some of the pests would come in, they would eat some of it, the weather would come and destroy more, and then eventually the rest of it would just rot away. And the same is true for God's fields. In order to ensure that we have a good harvest, we have to go spread the word, which we just heard about. And then we have to nourish those and help those that we have told about the good news along the way. And then we have to harvest and bring those souls to Christ. Think if we just left those souls out there on their own. What good would all of our work have done? Satan and his pests and lies would come in and steal some of the truth from that person. And then the storms of life would come in and steal more, and eventually, over time, all of their good ideas and truth in them would just go away and rot away. All of the work that we had done would be for nothing. And sometimes people need space to grow. They need that space to grow on their own, because if you push too hard, they could be turned away. But other times, they need to be helped the whole way through. Imagine if Philip, whenever he asked the Ethiopian eunuch, he just kind of walked on and let the eunuch read from Isaiah. But instead he asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And what did the eunuch reply? "How can I unless someone guides me?" The eunuch might have been able to understand it on his own, but he wasn't able to. He needed someone to guide him. So if we leave those people that we've told the word to alone in the world, they might be lost forever. In Matthew 9, which was just read by Denver, Jesus said, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." We are his laborers, and there's already few enough of us as it is. So if all of us aren't doing our job, then what good is the word that we are spreading? If people aren't being brought to Christ, we can tell them about Jesus all we want. But if they aren't actually brought in, it's done no good. And in John 4, verse 35, he said, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest." Not only is the world around us ready to be harvested, but they are waiting for us to come to them. There's no better time than now to go out into the Lord's fields. So think about in your own life. It's very possible that you've mentioned the gospel to someone. Most of us have probably mentioned Jesus and lived the life that a Christian should for a very long time. But have we actually pursued those people? Have we brought them in and harvested them and brought them to the Lord? Have you pursued that conversation with people? Just mentioning it sometimes isn't enough. Sometimes it is, and they'll come to you and they'll ask you, and they will do what they need to do on their own. But not always is that the case. We have to go out, we have to bring those souls to Christ. And if we don't, then they could be lost forever. Just as in with a real crop, there's a window of opportunity. You can't harvest the crop too soon, or else it's not ripe, it's not ready. You can't harvest it too late, or else it will be rotten. If we try to bring people to Christ too soon in their lives learning about the Bible, they could be turned off of it and melt away. But if we wait for too long, they could be lost forever. Eventually, the harvest will be passed. Eventually, not only could it be too late for one person, but it could be too late for the entire world. So with the time that we have now, we should be going out into the Lord's fields, because everything is the Lord's. We should be bringing lost souls to Him. It doesn't matter who they are or where they've been. What matters is that they know who they can be as a Christian, so that they know that they are a Christian and where they are going. Because without that, the whole meaning of life is pointless, because the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. So ask yourself, are you fulfilling your duty as a Christian? If the answer is yes, then great for you. But if the answer is no, the first step, as we've already learned, is to go out into the Lord's field and spread His word. And after that, nourish those people that you spread the word to. Bring them to Christ and bring those souls in so that more people can be saved.
If you would like to follow along, our scripture reading will be coming from Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Mark 1, 16 through 18. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him.
When we are fishing and we catch a fish, it is a bad day for the fish, but when we are caught by Jesus, it is a great day. Please turn with me to Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. We need to always seek the lost. In the song we are about to sing, Seeking the Lost, number 520, it talks about going upon the mountain to seek the lost. The lost may be people who have fallen away from Christ, or people who have never known Christ. But we can scare people away from Christ. For example, if we put too much pressure on them, or present God's words too bluntly, like saying, "You are going to hell if you do not repent immediately." In fishing terms, casting a shadow over the water can scare fish away, just like we can scare people away from Christianity. God's word has never had a hook in it. God has never broken a promise. Look at the promises God made to Abraham. The Israelites got their land, became a great nation, and Jesus came to save us from our sins. The bait God gives brings life instead of death. When we are baptized and remain faithful, we will be with God in the end. But if we are not faithful to God, or if we have never been baptized, we will spend eternity away from God in hell with the devil. Please turn to Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The net catches everything,
But when it is dragged ashore, the good is gathered into vessels and the bad is thrown out. We always want to be counted with the good. Or, in the judgment, angels will come and throw us into the furnace of fire where God is not. In conclusion, we all need to go fishing. It can be very successful, regardless of whether someone becomes a Christian. It is our job to bring the gospel, not to change hearts. God is pleased when we love Him enough to carry His message to others.
If you would, please open your Bibles to John chapter 20, verses 15 through 17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again, a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep."
Good evening. If you will turn to your Bibles, John chapter 6, we'll be reading verses 33-35 in a moment. But as you're doing that, I'd like to ask you a question. If you can, remember back to the time when you were my age, middle to late teens. What was the one thing that was always on your mind? Well, for me, right now, I'm hungry. So, if you will read with me this passage. "For the bread of God, he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." So, obviously, you've heard about how we should spread the word and how we should bring up people in the word. Well, so now we're going to talk about how you should feed yourself in spiritual things. And first of all, we got to discuss what hungry is, and then why we get hungry, and then last of all, how we satisfy that hunger. So let's begin with what hunger is. Well, I looked it up in Webster's, and Webster's defined it as a weakened state brought on by lack of nutrients or a strong desire for. In spiritual terms, that applies to us, as in we must have a strong desire for God or we'll be in a weakened state of faith. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, it talks about the people of Israel wandering in the wilderness, eating the manna. The passage reads, "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you do not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know, that man shall not live by bread alone, but every man lives by the word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." Basically, hunger is not just a physical thing. It also has to be a spiritual thing for us if we want to survive. So now that we discuss what hunger is, why do we get hungry? Well, I'm a cross-country runner, which is long-distance running, and I'm hungry all the time. And it's because everything I eat, I pretty much burn off. Well, in our spiritual lives, we shouldn't take in spiritual food just because, you know, we need it. It's because we should crave it. It's because we want to draw closer to God and to heaven. When you're in the world all day, and when you've been around with the worldly people, it should make you want to be with God even more. Analogy is, you can't run a marathon without first eating the day before. So, we should consume ourselves in spiritual food, or else we will become spiritually weak. Thirdly, we've already discussed what hunger is and why we get hungry, so how do we satisfy it? Well, the only way to satisfy hunger is to eat food, but in our spiritual lives, we must satisfy it with Jesus Christ. He's the living bread who satisfies our every need. If we believe in Him and if we truly follow His works, then if He takes care of the sparrows, how much more will He take care of us? although this comes with a condition. You don't have to turn over here. But in Proverbs 19, verse 15, it says, "Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger." Basically, this literally brings the idea of you don't work, you don't eat into full consideration. If you don't work for God, God won't satisfy you, and you won't satisfy yourself in spiritual things. And you'll grow weak in the faith. So, in conclusion, what is hunger? Hunger is a desire for God. Why do we get hungry? Because we work for God. And the only way to satisfy hunger is by God.
Please open up to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
Are you ready to defend your faith? Ready to explain to others why you don't use God's name in vain? Why you don't drink? Why you don't smoke? Why you don't curse? The list could go on and on. On the other hand, are you ready to tell why you do attend church, why you do pray, read the Bible, show respect, patience, and love? When 1 Peter 3:15 was read a moment ago, it told us to be ready to give an answer for our faith in God. Do you take each chance you get and turn it into a chance to spread the word of God? One of the songs I remember hearing through my life was, "Give me the Bible, holy message shining." If we don't give others the Bible, the message won't be able to shine. Sometimes you can teach by example, other times by simply telling them what they need to do to be saved. We need to tell them that being a Christian means that if you do sin, you can pray and be forgiven. As it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 9, if you'd like to turn there and read with me. 1 John chapter 1, 8 through 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, we always have someone to rely on. Jesus as an example of righteousness, and also our Christian brothers and sisters. Having such a loving Christian family can really help out when in times of trouble. I know it really helped me out through my recent surgery on my legs. Dr. Buckley said to me, the one who actually did the surgery, "Ben, we can fix your legs so you won't have pain in your back, hips, or legs anymore, and you'll be able to walk and run better. But you'll have to have a lot of patience, and there will be pain involved." But I was ready for it. As it says in Matthew 11:28 through 30, if you'd like to turn there as well, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is such a joyful message. How could you not want to spread it? If Dr. Buckley had not told me that there was a way to save me from my physical pain, I would have never known. This is the same with Jesus. He can save us from eternal pain and suffering. But if we do not spread the message, who will? And don't think a little birdie will go tell it for you. As I said earlier on, give me the Bible, holy message shining. Let's spread this beautiful message so that all can hear it may repent, believe it, be baptized, and be saved.
If you'd like to read with me, I'll be reading in Colossians 3:17. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful day that you have given to us to come and worship you. Thank you for all of our spiritual and physical blessings. Please heal all those who are sick and those who have had recent surgeries. Also, comfort those who are mourning. Please be with us as we return to our homes. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross and save us from our sins. And please forgive us of all our sins that we have committed. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.